Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell here at the Thumb's Greatest Hits 97.7 WTGV. Finally the weekend, and I'm so ready for it, man.
And now I'm ready for it, too.
That's what I like to hear. That's the spirit, Harahuck. Oh, we got a lot of fun stuff coming at you this afternoon, and we do have a Red Wings topic we'll have to bring up later in the afternoon. Some conflicting beat writer reports about things, Larkin, stuff. So
yeah, the stuff.
We'll have all that to get to this afternoon, so stick around. It is Happy Hour at 97.7 WTGV. Kid Rock at the Thumb's Greatest Hits 97.7 WTGV. If you love Michigan-made music like we do, tune in tonight at, I believe, 10 after Tiger Baseball for a full hour of music from the Mitten State, a little show that we like to call Adam's Second. Super Happy Go Lucky Fun Time Hour.
Funny time, whatever. Yeah, Glenn Brook, she's in studio. You were able to help. Hooked me up with that interview, which I appreciate. I've been playing her stuff for years, and she has this really cool tune, Tattoo Ain't About You. Looking forward to talking to her about that track, all the other tracks she's got going on. She's bringing the band, and sounds like they're playing live, too.
I've heard that. I've heard rumor that might be a thing.
It is not. It's looking good. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. Should be a good time all the way around. Tune in for that tonight after Tiger Baseball at 97.7 WTGV. The Red Hot Chili Peppers at the Thumb's Greatest Hits, 97.7 WTGV. And, God, I'm sick and tired of doing Dylan Larkin shows, Adam. You have no idea how much I'm ready to be done with this. But
a couple weeks ago, you said that we were not going to talk about Tarek Skubal. And I think almost after today, maybe we should put a moratorium on that, too.
I'm kind of there, but there is enough, like, it's enough qualifying as news that I feel like we should bring it up. Apparently, the beat writers can't agree what's going on anymore with that trade situation. You'll remember, it was reported a while back that Larkin had, in fact, extended his list of teams he'd be willing to trade it to, but then Helaine St. James from The Freep reported this week that, nope, it's just the three original teams. He has not expanded that list, but now... Yeah. Ansar Khan from MLive apparently has reported that there is another team that has entered the chat, and that's the Dallas Stars, and that apparently Steve Yzerman wants Wyatt Johnson in return.
Yeah, that's what I've been seeing, too. And I mean, a lot of people are like, why Johnson? Robertson's right there. But, I mean...
He's an RFA,
Yzerman
though.
Wants what Yzerman wants. But, yeah, I mean, we heard... about 2 weeks ago that he expanded his three team list, which included
Vegas,
Vegas, Florida, and
Minnesota.
And then it was like, oh no, he expanded it to include Dallas, Carolina, and Long Islanders for some stupid reason. That turned out to be bumpkus.
Well, I mean, we all knew it wasn't that the Islanders wasn't a real thing anyway, because who wants to play for the Islanders? That's just stupid.
Nobody does. Maybe if this was 1982, you're like, yeah, but no, it's not a destination anymore. But either is the Detroit Red Wings. Anyway, yeah, Dylan Larkin, it sounds like he has moved his list a little farther down the line, and he wants Dallas put on there. I like I said last week, these no trade clauses, I think if you sign a no trade clause, if you want to trade, you don't get to play this game.
No, absolutely. Like, you waive the no trade clause entirely if you ask for a trade. I feel like that is absolutely how that has to be. I can't agree with you anymore on that. Now, when you were talking about Wyatt Johnson, why him as opposed to Robertson, well, Robertson is a restricted free agent, I believe, this season, or like has one more year team control or something. But Johnson is signed through the 2029-2030 season, at which point he will be 27 when he hits free agency.
Okay.
So, I mean,
we're getting right in his prime.
Exactly. Like, you would have him, you'd have a young player under team control for a good, like, significant amount of time. It's not a just crazy, it's not a terrible deal, quite frankly. It's not like it's it would be a bad deal for the Wings. He's making $8.4 million a year at present. But I mean, for the production that you get out of him, it's certainly, I don't hate the idea, but my question is, why on earth would Dallas agree to that?
I have no idea. I don't know what's in it for him. And Jim Nill is he's no dummy. He's not going to make a move like this, you know, just to make a move. He knows what he's got. He knows his worth. More than Larkin would have to be coming along.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely giving up picks or a prospect or multiple prospects or
something. Oh, easily. You know, Nate Daniels, he's gone. He's going along with Larkin.
Well, why would they want Nate Danielson, though? I mean, he wasn't that good last year.
Everybody, all the trades I keep talking about, keep hearing that it's Nate Danielson has been rumored to be part of.
I feel like it's a lot of wishful thinking on the part of Wings fans.
Wishful thinking is always putting JT Compher on every trade.
that is very true. We'll talk about this more coming up, but first we'll hear from Kiss coming up at 97.7 WTGV. Candlebox at 97.7 WTGV, talking a little bit about the report from MLive's Ansar Khan that apparently Dylan Larkin has, in fact, contrary to previous reporting, expanded his trade list, his destinations to include the Dallas Stars, and Steve Yzerman is clearly unserious about trading Dylan Larkin. I think we can say pretty conclusively he's not serious about making a trade, because you're literally asking for their star center, who's like significantly younger and more productive than Dylan Larkin. We'll give you Larkin, but you got to give us a guy who scored 45 goals and 41 assists last season, right? Or we're not playing ball. Like, really, dude?
I might just be testing the waters. I mean, or he's just screwing with the rest of the league. I mean, that's entirely possible.
I kind of wonder, because I mean, he can't think Jim Nill is this dumb, right? To make that trade.
He worked under Jim Nill as a player. He knows how shrewd. No, I'm not gonna say shrewd. He's just, Jim Nill's a smart guy. He was one of the reasons why we won those cups in the 90s.
Exactly. Like, you can't sit here and say, like, oh, Jim Nill's such an idiot. He probably would actually give me Wyatt Johnson for Larkin straight up. I like to think he, you know, thinks a little bit better of his friend than that, right?
Yeah, right. He's thinking, oh, he's going to give me whatever I want. I'm Steve Yzerman. I'm like, Steve Yzerman, he's probably seen you in the shower. He's not impressed.
Oh, my God. No! Oh, my. But, like, seriously, though, like, I don't obviously that deal, like, you'd have to throw in so much to make that kind of trade happen. More. You probably would have had to throw in, like, a Sebastian Cosa and multiple other pieces if you still had a Cosa.
Yeah, it's going to be Postavo or Trey Augustine, which at this point you can't. We had so many goalies to the once you got rid of Cosa, you don't give away any more goalies. But first round picks, that's definitely that's a foregone conclusion that he would have to be packaged with Larkin. It's the cost would be too high. Wyatt Johnston coming to Detroit is exciting, but I mean, how much would it cost us?
It would cost us more than I feel like a lot of fans would want to pay. But really, if you're Dallas, why would you trade him? I mean, you're basically swapping cap hit for cap hit, because Larkin is right around the same range, maybe a little bit higher. Like,
an older player, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. For an older player at that. So, like, I don't really see the scenario under which it makes any sense for Dallas to pull the trigger on that deal, unless, like, they're getting us a boatload of draft picks or prospects or whatever in return. So right. I think we can safely file that one in the not gonna happen category.
No.
Let's get a quick check of our weather. 78 and partly cloudy right now at the Satellite Broadcasting World Headquarters in downtown Sandusky. Meteorologist John McMurray has details of our forecast coming up at 97.7 WTGV. Stone Temple Pilots at 97.7 WTGV, and we both were apparently looking at this, wanting to bring it up today, because for you particularly, it was rather infuriating, to say the least of it. I'll let you go ahead and set it up.
Yeah, that was the word that I was going with, was infuriating. The Carolina Hurricanes, they have won the Stanley Cup. With that part, we already knew. The Stanley Cup is, the tradition is the names of the players and the coach staff gets put on the cup. That's the way it's been for many, many years, to the point where a lot of the bands have been discontinued and they hang in the Hall of Fame. Carolina Hurricanes, their names were put on there, but it's very infuriating. I'll use that term again, because it's just, they included all the players and the coaching staff, but the owner put himself first and all of his kids.
Now, normally, I mean, obviously, we you know, the kids don't get put on the cup ever. That's not a thing that happens. But, like, does the owner normally come first on the listing, or is it the captain? Like, you're more versed in the hockey traditions on that side of things than I am.
You know what? If you ever looked at the stampings on the cup, you can kind of tell. Sometimes they're not even in line. They're jumbled up, and but they're on there. But, yeah, Tom Dundon, owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, put himself first, along with his wife and his kids, including a five-year-old. A five-year-old's name is on the Stanley Cup. Probably doesn't even know how to ice skate. And if that wasn't the worst of it all, they did not include Bobby Gorman. Now, Bobby Gorman has spent 30 years as the Hurricanes equipment manager. He's the only equipment manager that team has ever owned. He has been with that organization since 1976. And if you're doing the math, that's right. He was with the Hartford Whalers. They did not put his name on the Stanley Cup.
That's particularly egregious when you consider a literal five-year-old has his name on the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
A literal five-year-old who doesn't even live in Carolina, lives in like Dallas or something.
It's not the first time an NHL owner has done something like this, but they're saying that the league should step in and set stricter guidelines, and I could not agree more. Wayne Gretzky, they put Wayne Gretzky's dad's name on the Stanley Cup, and the league X'd it out.
Really?
So, I mean, yeah. So you're going to do that, but yet you're, you know, I have a feeling that Gary Bettman's going to step in and say, first of all, he should have already known.
There's an approval process, I believe, for that.
There should be, because a lot of times players have had to petition to have like a long-standing player included, even though they were injured, you know, or for whatever reason. So there's a lot of politics that go with it, and there's some misspellings on the cup. There's a lot of great stories that go with the Stanley Cup, but this one boils my blood. I mean, to not put your equipment manager, the guy who's sharpening skates, make sure the jerseys are all hung up, make sure you have everything you need, your players have everything they need to go out and win a Stanley Cup, you're going to snub him, and yet you're going to put your kids on the Stanley Cup. Way to go.
Yeah, I could be fine with, you know, you're not putting every single employee of the organization on the cup. Like, I could get that if that was the case. But here, like, you're doing that and also putting your kid that in no way helped you win a cup or helped your team win a cup on there. That's where it becomes, like, just particularly egregious to me, I guess.
How insufferable are these kids?
Oh, very. You know, they're very much like, you know, I could do what I want because my daddy owns a team. Like,
yeah, I want the number 14 and now I want it retired. Daddy, make it happen. Some guy wearing 14 actually worked his way through the minors. Like, what? No, you can't wear it. Little Tommy Dunn Jr. wants to retire for him. I mean, it sounds like we're laughing about it, but how far are we removed from something like that when you have, was it Sanders had his kids' jersey retired, played one season for a Colorado, University of Colorado. So I guess we're not that far off, but I can digress. I mean, that Bobby Gorman has got to step up and say, what goes on with this? I mean, I have been with the team on the road in our own barn. I've made sure he deserves a ring. He deserves his name on the Stanley Cup much more than Caden Dundon or Dax Dundon. Or Drew Dundon or Blake Dundon, Tegan Dundon. Man, first of all, this guy could pull out of a garage. For Shuka Dundon, I think that's his wife. It's like, come on, dude.
I couldn't agree with you more, man. Stick around. Your evening news and information comes your way at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to step out and regroup here in 30 with more Happy Hour at 97.7 WTGV. Pearl Jam at 97.7 WTGV. One more quick hockey thing before we skate and get ready for Tiger baseball. Apparently, it's all hockey all day today here in the middle, in the middle of July. That's
Happy Hour logic, but
if there was. But apparently, this offer sheet thing has just gotten crazy. Anaheim ended up matching Leo Carlson's offer sheet that he was tendered by. Who was it that offered? San Jose or somebody?
Anaheim Ducks. The Philadelphia Flyers. Excuse me.
Yes.
Yeah. 5-year, $90 million offer sheet.
They won't be happy until they pick that whole carcass of the Ducks clean, will they? They already got Trevor's egress from them, and now this.
Yeah, what is it? The two teams that have orange in their jerseys can't stop fighting each other. Carlson is now the highest paid in the NHL with an $18 million average, surpassing Kirill Kaprizov at $17 million per season.
That's ridiculous. That's insane, honestly, dude. Like, the fact that, I mean, those are like rookie numbers compared to like every other league, but like,
oh yeah, as far as the NHL world, that's big numbers.
That is, and you got to wonder how that's going to affect their ability to be able to continue to field a competitive team around him.
Well, I mean, the little ball of hate, that little GM day over there, I'm sure he's throwing furniture around because he didn't want to lose that player, but I mean,
he didn't want to pay that much money for him either.
I mean, there's a lot of these off-season things that the league has got to look at, and there's got to be some changes. Like we talked about, apparently we're just going to change the league today. Names on the Stanley Cup, no trade clauses, and now offer sheets. This is getting ridiculous.
We're fixing the entire league today on the show. That's what we're going with. Someone had to do it. Might as well be us.
Gary Bettman on line one.
Right. So what is it you're wanting to change about the offer sheet exactly, though?
I don't know exactly how. But, I mean, we kind of touched on it. We were halfway joking that the Wings should have an offer sheet for Connor Bedard and make it to the point where Chicago would have to overpay for Bedard. I mean, Carolina kind of pulled that with Fedorov in the late 90s.
I mean, I wasn't joking about that, Adam. I was dead serious.
Dead serious. But, I mean, that's kind of what's happening. Now, all of a sudden, they're going to be overpaying these players, which puts a strain on teams, and it's going to come back to Biden when it comes time to negotiate the CBA, which I think we discussed this. It was expanded to 2031 or something like that. 2030, something like that.
Yep, correct. 2030.
But Danny Briere, old 5'8" Danny Briere, issued a statement for the Flyers saying, "We understood the outcome was possible when we made the offer. While the result isn't what we hoped for, our goal does not change. We remain committed to pursuing every opportunity that will strengthen our team and continue to build towards becoming a consistent and perennial contender without sacrificing our future."
Well, good luck. Let me know how that works out for you.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe for a second you're going to be able to have both of those things happen.
No, not at all.
I don't see it under any way, shape, or form. That's going to about do it for us for this afternoon, but we have to do a little bit of housekeeping before we take off because it is Friday, and you know that is how this works as we get ready to send you off to Tiger Baseball at 6:15 as they get set to take on, they just finished that set against the A's. They're playing the Phillies.
How about that new catcher?
How about that new catcher?
Home run at his first at bat. Not too shabby.
You just love to see it. So in that note, in our ongoing attempts to cleanse our souls, Happy Hour would like to apologize to Bono, Gene Simmons, the Sacramento Couch Surfers, New York Islanders, Dylan Larkin, Tom Dundon, and Tom Dundon's kids. We're sorry.
Couch Surfers, I forgot about that.
That was a favorite of mine, I'm not going to lie. See, we're over here fixing all the sports leagues, apparently, giving new team names and the whole bit, man. It's great. Stick around. Tiger Baseball comes your way at 6:15 right here at 97.7 WTGV.